Gracious God, we thank you, we praise you for your word and for the way in which your word speaks to our hearts and to our minds. Open our hearts and minds now through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might hear what it is you have to say to us this day, and that we may eagerly go forth to serve you. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 23. Please stand in honor of God's word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people to the praise of his glory. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the working of his great power? God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Perhaps you remember the old time gospel hymn, Count Your Blessings. And there was that refrain, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Perhaps that would be a good hymn to preface what the Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians, as he tells the Ephesian church the many spiritual blessings that they have in Christ Jesus. And so this morning we're going to look at those blessings and the prayer that Paul prays over the Ephesian church in response to the goodness of all of those spiritual blessings. The first is that we are chosen. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. Tony Evans, a pastor from Texas, gave an illustration at a conference in 1992. He talked about what it means to be in Christ and what it means to be identified with him. He's the chaplain of the Dallas Mavericks, and he gets free tickets because he's the chaplain. He sits right there on the floor with the team. He said he has some buddies, and every time his wife and family do not want to go to the game, he calls up his buddies and he says, "Come on, guys, go to the game with me tonight." He says, "Now listen, don't worry about driving your car. You're with me. You go with me. You don't have to park six blocks away and walk. You get to park in the VIP section because you're with me. Don't worry about having to stop and get supper. Don't worry about carrying it in a bag. You're with me. We are going to go into the special VIP dining room, and we're going to have our own banquet-style dinner. Don't worry, you're with me. Don't worry about having to go through all those long lines at the ticket booth. You're with me. We'll go over to that little side door and go in. We'll go down the elevator and be right there. Don't worry about having to fight your way in to find your seat. You're with me. We're going to go up and out the team entrance, and we're going to sit on the floor. Everybody's going to watch us walk in and sit down. Don't worry about it. You're with me." That's a good illustration, because when we are with Christ, we are with him. We're in the VIP section. We are chosen before the foundation of the world. And we are chosen to be holy and to be blameless. To be holy is to be set apart, different from the world. You know, there is that little saying that if you were indicted on charges of being a Christian and you went to court, would they be able to find you guilty? In other words, do you really live out the Christian life that you are so different from the world, that the world sees you as a different person? Because when we are in Christ, he makes us holy. And he also makes us blameless. Christ makes us blameless. Much like the animals that had to be sacrificed in Old Testament times, they had to be without spot or blemish. And when we have Christ, when we stand before Almighty God, we are looked upon as being holy and blameless. Isn't that a wonderful spiritual blessing? Not only are we chosen by him and he makes us holy and blameless, but we're also adopted by him. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In the ancient world, under Roman law, the father had incredible power over his children as long as he lived. He could see that his children were sold. He could even kill his own children, if you could imagine that. A child could not possess anything, any inheritance or gift given to him, and went straight to daddy, no matter what the age of the child. So adoption was a very serious matter. And there was this special ritual. And the father would sell the biological son, and he would do this two times and then buy him back. And then on the third time, he doesn't buy him back. And after this, the adopting father went to the Roman magistrate and pleaded the case for adoption. Then the adoption was complete. And the one who was adopted had all the rights in his new family of a biological child, and he lost all the rights to the old family. He was considered to be a new person, that even any debts and obligations that he may have had with the birth family were gone, as though he never even existed. And you know what? That's what God has done for us. We were in the power of sin and the world, and Jesus brought us out of that life. He brought us unto him, and he adopts us. He clears our past, and we are now made new. And we take on the name Christian. I witnessed an adoption, and I may have shared this story before because it was one of my probably favorite stories and one of the most touching things that I ever witnessed. We had an after-school program in Creston, and we had a boy in that after-school program who was adopted actually by his second-grade teacher, who, that was an interesting thing. She was really praying for a second child. They had a daughter, and lo and behold, God plops this child in her classroom, and they take him in as a foster child, and then they decide to adopt him. And I went to the adoption, and I want to tell you, there were no dry eyes in that courtroom. And I remember when the judge asked little Benny what name he wanted as his last name. And I remember he so proudly took on a new name, and he wanted to be part of that family. And the embrace that that family had for him, it was by far one of the most touching things I think I have ever witnessed in my life. And it's a beautiful illustration, because we are in this world of sin and living in the world, and Christ Jesus, we are adopted and we get a new name. We get to be a new person in Christ. And what an incredible blessing that is. Just like when Benny wanted that new last name, we get the new name of Christian. And we become a new creation in Christ. The next thing the Apostle Paul tells us is that we are redeemed. God has delivered humanity from a situation that we could never deliver ourselves from. Redemption was the price paid to gain freedom for a slave. And a missionary in West Africa gives a good illustration of this. He was trying to convey the meaning of the word redemption in their language. So he asked his African assistant to express it in his native tongue. "We say," the assistant replied, "that God took our heads out." "But how does that explain redemption?" the perplexed missionary asked. The man told him that many years ago, some of his ancestors had been captured by slave traders, chained together and driven to the seacoast. Each of the prisoners had a heavy iron collar around his neck. As the slaves passed through a village, a chief might notice a friend of his among the captives, and he would offer to pay the slave traders in gold or ivory or silver or brass, and the prisoner would be redeemed by the payment. His head then would be taken out of the iron collar. What an unusual, unbelievable illustration of the word redeemed. Ephesians 1:7 tells us, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Jesus Christ died on that cross at Calvary to purchase our freedom, to set us free from the bondage of sin. We've been redeemed because of his blood. That was the payment. And then the Apostle Paul goes on to say one of the other spiritual blessings is that he's forgiven us our sins. In the ancient world, people knew they were sinners, and they actually dreaded God. They feared that God would just do awful, awful things to them. They feared him. But Jesus taught of the love of God, that yet while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. He showed us this incredible love while we were still sinners. And then he forgave every sin, our past, our present, and our future sins wiped away. We are forgiven. If you do not feel forgiven this morning, know that through Christ, your sins have been nailed on the cross, and that you are clean. Though your sins may be like scarlet, they become white as snow through faith in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful spiritual blessing we have in Christ. And then the Apostle Paul goes on, he's given us wisdom and insight. Wisdom is the answer to the eternal problems of life and death, God and man, and time and eternity. Well, insight is how we deal practically with everyday issues. And through that wisdom and that insight, God has made known to us the mystery of his will, which is that the gospel is open to all people, Jews and Gentiles alike, and that Jesus came to destroy divisions and bring a sense of unity to the church. And that one day, all people in Christ will be gathered together as one unified body. And then he tells us we have the seal of the Holy Spirit. In the ancient world, when a package was dispatched, it was sealed with a seal to show where it came from and to whom it belonged. Possessing the Holy Spirit is the seal on our lives that we belong to Almighty God. When we say yes to Jesus Christ, we are given the Holy Spirit to live and to dwell within us. It is a seal that we are God's, that we belong to him. And that Greek word that is used there was a feature of the Greek business world. It was like a down payment. And the Holy Spirit is like a down payment on our lives. It's a foretaste of what is yet to come in heaven. Because when we get to heaven, we will have the full possession of the blessedness and the joy and the love of Almighty God. What spiritual blessings we have in Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul is trying to tell them. Look at what you have. And he's not only telling the Ephesians that, he's telling you and me that as well. Look at what you have in Christ. And so then he prays for them, telling them, this is what you have, so let me tell you how I'm going to pray for you. He tells them he's going to pray that they might have a spirit of wisdom, to have a deeper knowledge and understanding of eternal truths. He tells them he's praying that they might have a fuller revelation and knowledge of God, to get to know God better each and every day. And he tells them he's praying for them that they may have eyes of their heart enlightened so they may know hope. You know, things in our world look pretty grim. Amen? Things in our nation look pretty grim. Amen? Thank you, Helen. Glad somebody's awake out there. Exactly. Things look pretty grim. And we may think things are falling apart, but you know what's happening? Things are falling in order for Christ's return. It's only going to unravel more because Christ is coming back, and his coming is getting closer and closer. And so the Apostle Paul is praying that they may have eyes of a heart that's enlightened so that they may know that hope. Have you ever been to an orchestra, especially like in high school, and you get there early and they're tuning up? Do you know how awful that sounds? But then, you know, the conductor gets their attention and then he brings them all together into a beautiful sound. And that's the way it is in the world. Things are going on in this world that are far beyond any of our understanding. But God is the great conductor. And he knows the piece, and he's arranged it. And he knows how it's all going to come together in the end in a beautiful, beautiful melody. The Apostle Paul then prays that we might have a new realization of the power of God. The power of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is given to the believers, to the church. We have the resurrection power when we have Jesus Christ in our lives. That power is for you and for me. And the Apostle Paul says, Jesus is superior to all. He's far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And God has put all things under his feet and has made him head over all things. And the church is his body. And you and I are here to proclaim Christ's mission to the world. What an incredible prayer he prays over them after he tells them how they're spiritually blessed. That's for you and me as well. That should pick you up this morning when you go out the door to know how blessed you are spiritually. And if I were you, I would take this passage from Ephesians where Paul prays and pray that prayer over your own life. You know how you've been blessed in the Spirit. Now pray the prayer that he prays over the Ephesians and make it your prayer. The Mount Morgan gold mine in Queensland, Australia, is one of the richest in the world. For many years, though, the original landowners lived in deep poverty on the mountain's barren surface. Even though the vast wealth was out of sight, it was beneath their feet all the time. Some Christians live in a similar situation, plodding and struggling through their spiritual lives, laboring every step of the way, unaware of the vast riches God has promised to all who believe and trust in him that they never claim as their own. These are our spiritual blessings. Have you claimed them as your own? Start claiming them. Start praying Paul's prayer over your life and watch how God can dramatically change you. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you. We praise you for this powerful passage of scripture that you give to the saints of God. Those people who know and love Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Wow, Lord, you have blessed us with so many spiritual blessings. Help us to be so grateful for what you have done for us in Christ. And help us, O Lord, to seek to do your will and walk in your ways every single day. Help us to fulfill your mission on this earth. And Lord, help us to pray those words of the Apostle Paul over our hearts and our minds. We thank you and we praise you. And we ask and pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.